You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV, copyright 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So, Stugatz, over the last 4 years, as what you've felt happening in this country, even before it became pandemic and race stuff in the streets in a way that was hugely uncomfortable and has shown you a side of America that I do believe that even as black people are looking at it and being like, well, that's the chickens coming home to roost on all the stuff you guys have always done to us to minimize minorities or to make us the others. And that's kind of your problem. And when I say chickens coming home to roost, I'm talking about Malcolm X after JFK was shot saying, and this is what happens when you oppress black people or minorities or make them the other. So the last 4 years have been enormously divisive by any standard and super heartbreaking and disappointing because our country was revealed to be, no matter how cynical you are, a little bit uglier than we thought it was. And so a mediocre old politician emerges and America votes for him. Just basically, just make us decent again. It's not about making America great again. It's, hey, Joe Biden, can you just make us fundamentally decent again so that we can stop making all this stuff like race and division about politics and just be it? Like the thing, Joe Biden just won the election with more votes than a president has ever gotten because America simply voted for, oh, he's a nice man.
Yeah.
Like, just be a nice man who doesn't embarrass us. It doesn't matter that you're almost 80 and we're scared. We're just trying to get you that we're in such a perilous place that I'm assuming a lot of people are watching yesterday saying, man, I hope nobody shoots this guy or there's not an explosion in this party where there are costumes and everybody, we're safe, right? Like, I think that part of the feeling that came out of yesterday was relief combined with, okay, we're safe now and we're not safe. There's a civil war and I imagine there's going to be domestic terror that results from this in the pockets. I don't think QAnon's just going to walk away or the alt-right or the armed are just going to walk away on their racism. Like, they're one of the people who stormed the Capitol is reported, as we're getting some of these details, is a former military guy, like a former, say, fought for on behalf of this country and is now just racist, like just believes that white power should be protected. And that was the fringes that were sort of making their way into the corridors of freedom.
They had to remove several of the National Guard that were a part of this inauguration ceremony because of right-wing militia ties.
We voted for normalcy, stability, to be represented the right way, to be represented in a way that's classy. And you saw it yesterday where you had a guy that wasn't talking about the size of the crowd at his inauguration. He didn't care about that. He was signing documents to reverse things that he thought we got right to work is
okay,
what he did.
Well, and so I want to talk about the messaging of yesterday and how the media brought it to you and how much we're rah-rah hoping, because I will tell you, one of the places that I saw journalism crumble was after 9/11. We all got so scared of what it is that we had seen that even journalists who are our credible anchors in the middle of news were like, yeah, let's fight. Let's go to war. Who do we need to go to war against? And objectivity was thrown aside as we wrapped ourselves in the flag and patriotism and fear. And we were America, America, America in a way that swallowed like journalism credibility because there was a rooting for war. And if you watch like the movie Vice on how war was turned into a business there on the bodies of human beings, because we're fighting all over the world with big giant defense contracts. And just watch the movie Vice as a comedy and a documentary to learn like how it is that we profited off of that war to go from there 20 years ago to now yesterday feeling the way that did, because all we think about what Rudy Giuliani was after 9/11, because we were all just looking for a leader. We were afraid, and he became just the best of us in a way that I really thought from there. Boog still makes fun of me about this, that Giuliani could have been president from there because of how much he soothed us there. We took a moment of hope in sports, and George Bush throwing out a first pitch. Didn't matter that we were going to war someplace in a place that wasn't actually responsible for what had just happened in 9/11. George Bush threw out a first pitch and the country felt nice and warm and we felt a little bit safer again. Yes, America's resiliency. Yesterday was a lifelong mediocre politician who's simply a nice man, not an asshole, running on a platform of I'm not an asshole. America voted for that and got to celebrate itself and feel good about it in costumes and at a party. Had got to feel good about itself, Stugatz, even though I'm not sure how much we deserve to feel good about ourselves, given what just put freedom in peril in this country, what led it, and specifically the army of oafs that were actually able to threaten freedom in this country.
Not to correct you like a sports sap, but the Taliban did harbor Osama bin Laden, who was responsible for 9/11. I don't want to get into all the other wars that we have started, but I'm just hearing you say this, and in a post-Ted Lasso world, yesterday felt good for me. When I saw that guy say, have a nice life, and hop into what was Air Force One at the start of it, but not by the end of the flight, I was just so happy that I didn't have to worry about it until he, like, popped back up because there was that threat. But do we have to do this? Yeah, I really feel like I voted for a return to normalcy, and I really don't want to relive the horror of the last 4 years and continue to create content as if we're still living in that. Yesterday was a truly hopeful day for me. And just hearing you talk about
it. But I'm the urinator.
I don't want to deal with this.
But I'm the urinator.
No, but what's funny is
it later.
What's funny is the bar set so low that just being normal felt great for a second.
It feels fantastic. I just got out of it, man. Quit trying to drag me back
okay,
in.
And you guys are so right about this, but do you understand my conundrum? Finally freed from the corporate shackles, trying to talk about something I've wanted to talk about for so long. Denied the ability for 4 years to make jokes about the drinking of bleach to run off a virus. I don't know why he's not a good leader. It's not the taxes, and it's not that he can barely read, or the fact that he's Donnie two times. He repeats everything two times because that's his verbal crutch, and he thinks the answer to any problem is, you know what this needs? More Trump. More orange Trump.
Bleach.
That I was denied the ability to have that fun there, but I think Mike is right. This is a new dawn. We need to let go of previous bitternesses. I was not able to talk freely. This fat metal lark was not able to sing and fly at the same time on the subject of Donald Trump. And now it is here, and I have asking for a late checkout. Wait a minute. Just give me the content fountain that he is. Please give me the content fountain right up until the very end. And Mike is saying, nope, this is now the demarcation on hope. Right here, 1 o'clock, America is going to get to celebrate watching this old guy walk successfully to his new house. That's what we did yesterday. I'm sorry to be the urinator about this.
Stop
but,
doing this, man.
But we watched.
He made it home.
We celebrated as a country to watch an old man walk triumphantly to his new home.
But that old man feels like my goddamn grandpa. And you know what? It felt good to have my grandpa running the country for a minute. I loved yesterday.
I wasn't hard to impress. My barometer for winning this election was simply not be the current guy. And when you enter something with those kind of expectations, I think I can speak for everyone that did with those same expectations. I've been thoroughly impressed. And yes, It may be because sometimes he can walk down the stairs without falling, but I thought his speech about unity, while redundant and cliche, is something that I desperately needed. I need you to be a meadowlark, Dan, singing toward a new dawn, not a parrot that's been saying the same shit for 4 years.
Well, besides Dan, who was the most upset, and besides Republicans, right? Who was the most upset that the Trump presidency came to an end? Because I think it might be Don Lemon and it might be Chris Cuomo.
Oh, cable news network.
Yes, I see cable CNN is reeling right now.
Well, one of the things I've noticed, I'm going to get in trouble probably for saying this, but I've realized in watching the coverage that I hadn't been watching before, these people aren't actually this good at this. Like, the Don Lemons and the Anderson Coopers aren't quite as good as I thought that they were in terms of being able to do this stuff that's complicated. I was hoping for better from my news coverage, although Hannity brought it strong yesterday. You saw, I got to find my notes on that. You guys see the pivot of Hannity? I didn't even know how you can turn anything about yesterday into still being in public pro-Trump.
So you're going to be the guy that criticizes Anderson Cooper's polish while you pause to search for your notes.
I'd like to say, so Dan doesn't feel alone. I too fell for the Giuliani stuff.
Everyone yeah. did.
He was America's mayor. And what happened though?
In sports books, he was the odds-on favorite
in
that primary.
Wait a minute. So you guys don't want to talk about the past anymore until we can go back and talk about something streaming down, something brown streaming down the face of Giuliani?
I'm with you, man. He totally tarnished the legacy.
Wait a minute.
He was one of the great leaders.
Wait a minute.
He was considered one of the great mayors of all top. Five mayor of all time, all right. Dan. And now he's out. He's
Hold
out
on.
Of the conversation.
Top five mayors.
Yeah. Hold
Here.
On. See, Mike. Okay. One more.
John Mayer.
One last. He beat you to the joke, Mike.
I had it queued up.
It was great.
Where is it? Let's do it. Where is it queued? Show me where it's queued.
I had John Casey. I had John Mayer. damn it.
The mayors, sorry. The skiers.
We whisper the lines in his ears, not over the air.
No, Billy, it was fucking great.
Hold on a second. Mike, give me. That should have been the end of the segment, but Mike is frustrated because he didn't get the good joke. So give me this, though, as we talk politics around here in a way that I've got to learn how to talk politics because I've never
everyone
hold on
needs
hold on.
To learn how to do shows again.
Mike, this is what my question is to you. Can I get grandfathered in somehow? I just want one thing grandfathered in, okay, from all the content and comedy that we were denied. And I saw the flash, the gleam in your eye when it came to the subject of Giuliani and the arc of the last 20 years. I mean, we all remember where we were, 9/11, how scary that day was, and we remember that on the days that followed that, Rudy Giuliani was a legitimately great leader. And you can watch a Netflix documentary that's very good about what he did in New York in terms of RICO crime statute and where it is that Rudy Giuliani was a great leader for this country, who was interested in Rudy Giuliani and his story, but did some legitimately good things that after the leadership needing moment in America after 9/11, I believe he was the political star, period.
It was him and George Bush. I mean, Bush did, standing on the rubble with the workers, with the firemen, grabs the megaphone.
But that was leadership, and it's much different than what it is that you've seen over the last 4 years. But what I ask of you, it's fine. I don't want to annoy the audience by hitting all the redundant notes that all the late night comedians have been making for 4 years that I have been denied. But what I'm asking to have grandfathered in, it's only one thing. You can have the rest. You can make some sort of buzzer sound that gets me off of all the Trump stuff at every turn, because I'm not actually interested in revisiting all of that. I, too, am happy to have that out of all of our lives. I, too, experienced yesterday, even though I'm urinating on hope, as a great relief and a happy day for America. Just grandfather in for me, please. Rudy Giuliani, before the brown stain went down his face in a way that was confusing and disorienting to all of us, and independent of all the stuff like, hey, we were in bed with Russia, never mind, okay, that's weird, we shouldn't do that. Just allow me to have one of the final press conferences being held in a Four Seasons sort of place that was supposed to be a Four Seasons hotel, but instead was a landscaping place or some strange, just totally gray, awful mismanagement where the press conference was clearly, they thought they were booking a Four Seasons, and instead they were just on rubble and gravel next to a dildo shop. Just let me have that
And it is the only thing I will take from the Trump presidency moving forward. I'm promising you that now. And you can be corporate Michael, who zaps me every time that I want to revisit the past, because you're now Ted Lasso. Your positivity. If you could just give me that one thing, that one little playground where I can go back again and again to talk about that thing that I was denied, Mike, which is all of the comedy around again. Like, please, I want, because of all the things to remember since Grab Him by the Pussy. Like, that was, you've been in locker rooms, guys. No one in a locker room talks like that. Other dudes, no one in prison talks like that. Not that I have a lot of experience with prison, but that's not locker room talk. Like, no one says that. To go from rapey and racist to, at the very end, the way the whole thing peters out with him still wailing and wanting to fight everybody, is with his attorney that was one of America's great leaders 20 years ago, because of the mismanagement of, hey, it's being run by me and my kids. We're a crime family, and we're not a particularly smart one, but we're a white one, and we wear suits, and we represent white power and privilege. And look at what a white man in a suit can get away with. Everything. Crime and grifting and being in bed with the Russians and everything. The attorney for that man, who traded all of his leadership, was standing in a parking lot. Was it even a parking lot? What was it at the end? It was just some gravel in front of Four Seasons what? Construction?
Total, Four Seasons Total Landscaping.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you would offer me the ability.
A common theme. Him thinking that one thing is another. Remember, he tried to call Tommy Tuberville to hold off the election after the insurrection at the Capitol, but he left the voicemail on some other senator's voicemail. A common theme for Giuliani.
Okay, this is the comedy that we want here. He's also butt-dialed like reporters and giving away secret conversations.
Yeah, and don't forget Borat's daughter.
I think you're right about the locker room, but I feel like that probably is said in prison.
I don't think it is.
Probably
but,
worse.
Well,
I mean,
if you're in an all-male prison, probably not.
Yeah.
And the point was, it was dismissed at the start of the tenure as we were chummy with him, a little too chummy with him. And what I'm asking you, Mike, if you give me the content farm, is I want to go back to our very original days, Mike. And I don't know how dangerous this is, but we have our whole library.
You mean way
now.
Back in 2008 when you interviewed Donald Trump Jr.?
Did we really?
You what? Did. Yeah. You've interviewed Donald Trump multiple times.
Why?
And Don Jr. He was a part of, I think, Elite FC, the Kimbo Slice fighting promotion.
We had Don Jr. on this show.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew we had Donald
on
the bunch.
All right, put that
on
the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show.
My guess is you'll sound less stuffy.
Hold
here.
On. Roy, do you have any, as our show historian, Roy, do you have any recollection in 2008? You've got the library. Do you have any recollection of, in 2008, Donald Trump Jr. being on the show with us?
I must have tried to forget that because I do not remember.
Okay, none of us remember that. Now, Mike, should we empty that file? Are we gonna? This isn't even what I was talking about. Mike, I wanted to go so far back into our library. Stu Gatz is going to laugh at this. Mike, you were probably an intern.
In 2008?
No, this might be before Mike Ryan. Stu Gatz, do you remember, because we were next to a sex shop, okay, do you remember we
Pleasure
sent
Emporium.
The yeah. Pleasure Emporium,
yes.
Right,
yeah, of course.
Where we were right next to it in terms of our business was one place. And
I
then,
was a listener then.
Okay, so hold on a second. Please tell me we have somewhere in our library sending over that kid. I don't remember his name.
It was Andy King, I
No,
believe.
It was not Andy King. It was somebody who was interning for Andy King. We sent him over, I think, with a ball gag or something. We sent him over. Anyways, if you give
we
me
sent
this,
him over to purchase a ball gag, I believe.
No, and to describe.
Why would we have a ball gag to send over there?
No, it's not. I think it had to be to purchase a ball gag because, of course, I think we wanted to hear him talk to the guy at the front and just sort of walk through the Pleasure Emporium with him. Roy, do I have this wrong?
Well, you must have sent two people because I went to the Pleasure Emporium, but I didn't get a ball gag for you.
Yeah.
Why did
and
you?
You didn't send him either.
What were you going for? Yeah.
For fun?
Roy, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Where in the world was Roy, the first edition, I think, is we sent you to the Pleasure Emporium, and then you got a couple of things that Dan asked you for back channeling.
Mike, can you please just put in the library the search phrase Pleasure Emporium?
I did. No results.
Nothing comes up.
I'm going to search sex shop.
Okay, wow. But the reason I'm asking you to do this is because what I want to do is start interviewing people next to the Four Seasons. I want to go into that dildo manufacturer and start talking to whoever that was about what it was like to have one of America's great leaders 20 years ago have a press conference for the president of our times in terms of shame and have that be in their parking lot. I want to do some reporting on this and talk to the people at that sex shop. Wouldn't that be a good segment? Don't you think that something interesting would come from that conversation? But I don't remember what we did specifically with either Roy. What was the name of that kid, Mike? I don't even remember the name of the guy who's now probably an adult.
I don't remember the intern that you send out there. I just know that he was over 18.
I'm gonna ask someone who probably knows real quick here. Just to try to get the name for us. I mean, because I'm dying to know who it was.
Well, we want the payoff.
Would you like to hear a chunk of your 2008 interview with Donald Trump?
I'm not sure I want to hear that, but go ahead. Now we're in this mess together, so go ahead.
Everybody wants to see him fight in UFC. I mean, you're with this Affliction Band main event. Well, first of all, how did you get involved with MMA? Aren't you supposed to be in real estate? Isn't that how that works in the Trump thing?
You know, we dabble in a little bit of everything, but, you know, it's one of those things we've been following it since, you know, the very early things. When I spent time with my father as a kid, it was in Atlanta. City going to the boxing matches and stuff like that, and it's really, you know, the evolution of, you know, the sport of boxing. And so we've been into it for a very long time, and when we had the opportunity, we've done some other business with some of the guys from Affliction.
Definitely Don Jr.
I feel shame now and feel the need to publicly apologize for what is clearly a left-leaning hypocrisy when it was good for my business, in business, with whatever elite boxing sewer it is we were promoting there. We got in bed with Donald Trump Jr. How did he get on the air? Was this a Stu Gotch joint? Who were we selling our soul to for that person to come on and have me do an interview that is clearly disguised as an infomercial?
Apparently Affliction t-shirts.
How did that happen to me? Is it because the producer was over at the Pleasure Emporium buying a ball gag? Is that how, like, how did that guy get foisted upon our show without any of our producers telling me, hey, this might end calamitously in 13 years with race wars and freedom under siege? And you're talking to him before all the stuff that makes his chin jut out and makes him grind his teeth.
In 2008, our show was all about minor league fight promotions that would air on Showtime. It was a weird time for us.
I put a few feelers out there to try to find, because I am not going to be able to go on with my day until I remember.
Well, I want to go into the Wayback Library and see if we can find Roy. See if you can find that for the next show that we do, because I want to revisit the very early days of our radio show to see if we can find somewhere, anywhere, this that we're talking about. This would probably be one of the first things that we did, Stu Gotch, that was a little rebellious for sports radio.
Perhaps. The people I'm asking, though, because we're doing the show as I'm texting, I'm not really, like, what I'm sending them via text is Pleasure Emporium, ball gag.
Oh, no.
Intern.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Mike, the show's moving too fast. We don't have a human resources department. What did Stu Gotch just do? Did we just have a human resources violation because Stu Gotch is now texting people what again with no context because you're in a hurry?
I think I just told Andy King to meet me at the Pleasure Emporium after the show to get a ball gag.
Unfortunately, I think I can say with certainty that we don't have sound of this because it wasn't exactly a sound that we would replay. This is the first time I've ever searched sex shop and Pleasure Emporium, which is a bit of an upset.
Yeah.
I don't think we have this audio since it's not one of those iconic moments.
There's only two people to go to. It was Mark Hochman and Andy King. I've gone to Mark Hochman. His response was Andy King.
No, there was a guy with black hair. He was tall. He was statuesque. He was Billy before Billy. Yes, Chris.
I'm just jealous. All I got to do as an intern is go to Pollo Tropical.
Was it Jason Spain?
Oh, my God. He might be right.
I think Jason Spain is the right one.
Wow.
Yeah, he was CBS 4 now.
Yeah, because Jason Spain was there just... It might have been Ryan Bass. Our internship program was actually pretty good.
By accident?
Yeah, like Josh Appel is calling some of the biggest games over the radio.
Whittingham has now gone totally backward in his career and is just...
backward all-star.
Whittingham was the all-star of all all-stars from our sports media intern past. Whittingham's the one who most reminded me of me. Him and Ryan Cortez, where I was like, good Lord, these guys are way ahead of the game early in their teens.
Yeah, like, Chris spoke like you spoke, like you some of the same, and I can't speak that way. Cortez, we learned, is more like me than you, though. I
mean, well, I just love those guys having come up through our system and the idea that Whittingham is now with us to bail us out on the pirate ship. Like, that's one of those a mean hires. Wait, we can't hire. We don't hire. We don't have any money. We don't have anything we can do. I don't have infrastructure. What are you doing? And he's like, no, I want to help, man. Like, I want to help. And we are drowning right now. Mike, what can you tell people about the release schedule for the rest of the week here? Because we're not going to be on tomorrow, and it's very hard given everything we've got going on. And I don't know what's going on with Stugatz, but just know that he's toughing it out through this and that you've been therapy for Stugatz here, because coming in here and laughing for a couple of hours of every day has been something. He's smiling, which is good because Stugatz is hurting a little bit.
And despite Stugatz having stuff going on in his personal life, he will still give you, the Lebatard Show universe, a stupidity episode that'll drop tomorrow. Many of you probably miss Weekend Observations. Well, don't fret. Weekend Observations will make its first ever appearance on stupidity. The whole bit, even Dan there to react, because the whole bit is Dan, so we need Dan to stick around.
We will put that on Stupidity, you're right. I also have Chris Sims joining me on Stupidity. And next week, the new New York Jets head coach, who will no longer be their head coach in a year and a half to 2 years.
Rob Salo, the first ever Muslim head coach in the NFL.
Handsome
devil.
But you said handsome as shit.
Handsome as shit, Rob Salo.
People are saying Mike Marchant is the person
we
sent.
No, Mike Marchant was short and square. That's a good guess because of black hair. But no, this was... I think Roy got it right, but we're going to have to hunt this person down and find out. I'd like to interview that person. It doesn't have to be here. Maybe it can be on a mystery crate because we're making a bunch of stuff in a bunch of different places. But what I want to tell you is if you need a fix of what it is that we're doing tomorrow, these South Beach sessions with John Skipper, we're doing this way purposefully, trying to make sure that you understand that you're on this trip with us and you're building this company with us. You're going to hear it being built. And one of the things that I thought it was important to do is introduce the audience to our new CEO, the guy who is going to basically be building the business stuff, because we are simply not equipped. We can make stuff, but a business is not a stuff we make. It's just not the thing that we do around here. So I want the audience to get to know John Skipper over several episodes. Skip. And the second one I think is even better than the first in
it
terms
is.
Of telling you what this is going to be and what's upcoming for us, and with a little bit sprinkled in of who is this man who's trying to build it for us.
It is. We're actually going to put part two in the main radio show feed too, because we feel that good about part two. Part one is already in your feed. Go check that out. It's definitely good. The audio quality on part one is actually spectacular. It's a bit different from part two. Part two will be in our main show feed, but please subscribe to South Beach Sessions, Lebatard and Friends Network, Stupidity, because there's stuff to look forward to there, and Mystery Crate, which is Dan's first interview post leaving ESPN. Dan sits down with Mark, formerly of Reddit, and answers fans' questions, and that'll be this week's episode of Mystery Crate.
All right, that's awesome. On Stupidity, great point by Chris Whittingham. It is not the Weekend Observations crew. I can't do that. That would not be good, okay? I signed paper. I cannot have Mike Golic Jr. on, okay? It is the actual Weekend Observations that I do on Monday that I will do on a Thursday that will be released on a Friday headed into this weekend.
A full week after the observation.
That was not Whittingham that gave you that note, Stugatz.
You're right.
All right. This is one of the things that's happening here with Chris Cody, BSPN. Something is happening here where he's threatened by Whittingham because he's just realized, wait a minute, I'm a product of nepotism. Whittingham's been around here since he was 14 years old and is a robot grooming for this position all his life. And his career has totally failed backward because now he's underneath Chris Cody on the pecking order.
I'm in the Stugatz lane. Whittingham can take that Lebatard lane.
It's an easier lane. Much more fun.
All right.
You finally learned, you.
All of which is to say, okay? All of which is to say, everything is moving real fast around here. We are totally careening out of control. It is a great deal of fun. It is a little too free. we're going to figure out the business elements of this, and we're going to figure out how to get back to giving you this radio show exactly as it is that it feels the best to you, even though we're a little scattered right now, and we could use some rules and some lack of freedom, but don't even have time for that right now.
So it's a no on what's for lunch? I just want to be clear.
I don't know. I don't want to do that kind of advertising anymore. Stugatz continues to scheme in the shadows, trying to get us money from everywhere.
You don't have any other person doing it.
Yes, so that is correct.
Leaving it to me and my own devices?
This is one of the dangers of freedom. And this is another thing, though, Mike. Another danger of freedom is that in doing what he did as sloppily as he did it, Amin El-Hassan, in the middle of a 2-week suspension without pay, and the reason it is without pay is because he is without pay from us. He does not have a job here. He does not have a salary. He does not have benefits here. He has simply decided recklessly, as a man with children, I would say, it's not the advice I would have given him, to rip up a contract and say, I'm coming with you guys. And it's already gotten us in trouble with our CEO, who is trying to release whatever it is that we end up doing, whenever it is we end up doing it, on his schedule, the way an orderly business might. So me and Mike are getting emails, Stugatz, that are like, hey, let's come on, like, tighten this up.
Right.
Like, what are we doing? Amin is not Meadowlark. Like, Meadowlark is going to be something else. And you guys didn't talk to me about this. And we're like, well, we're not paying him. And we're not doing anything. We're just sitting here. And he's like, I'm coming with you guys. And we've already had to suspend him for 2 weeks. Within the context of that, Mike, Amin with freedom is dangerous. And Amin has already turned the audience against this poor Reddit guy on Mystery Crate that I don't understand what happened there. I've been talking to Amin about his Twitter account for about 10 years. However long Amin has been at ESPN, I've been talking to him about, man, come on, stop doing that to your fans. Like, you're being a little mean. You're trolling excessively. You're being a bully with the ESPN platform. Like, it's unnecessary what you're doing on Twitter. Like, walk that back a little bit. And so his first act of freedom is some sort of
You're just going to come out and say it.
Well, whatever. Bleep me out. You understand what I'm saying? Like, don't do that, Amin. What are you doing? But he doesn't work for us.
I didn't mean to say come out and say it there. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that. We get into all of that on Mystery Crate. Let's stop explaining stuff. Check it out.
Oh, shit.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.